I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With the Indians, and Chris Antonetti will talk all about it at 3:30. You'll hear it here on 92.3 The Fan. And Mandy Bell will be covering it. She covers the Indians for MLB.com. And she joins us right now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mandy, hello. The huge story. Jason Kipnis returns to Cleveland tonight. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Under normal circumstances, that would be a really big deal, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh, of course. And that was like one of the things I focused on. I mean, before every game, we do like a little preview blurb just to get something up on our site so that people have an understanding of like, okay, what can we watch for in tonight's game? And like 2 days ago before the off day, whenever I started prepping that, I was like, oh, Jason Kipnis returns. What a fun reunion. And now it's a little bit of a different tone.
Yes. Knucklehead move. Mike Clevenger, big-time knucklehead move. If you're Chris Antonetti, what are you saying today and what are you doing about it?
Oh, man, I'm sure that he spent all of yesterday trying to figure out with the rest of his staff exactly how to best handle the situation just in-house and then how to go about it today whenever they do speak with all the media this afternoon. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a horrible position to be put in. You have like one of the best rotations. I mean, to start the year, they've put up historic numbers. This is the only thing that so many people have been able to talk about. And now two of your top starters and are now forcing you to have to make really difficult decisions because of off the field decisions. And that's never the spot that you want to be put in. But the Indians have shown since day one of summer camp when Fran Mel Reyes decided to go to a 4th of July event without a mask on. They were quick to react, and they're doing everything that they can to make sure that they're not putting any of their team in danger of being exposed to this, because we can see from the Marlins, from the Cardinals, what can happen if there is an outbreak with your team. And Tito said all along, the team that stays the healthiest, it doesn't mean that they're going to win it all, but it's going to give them the best chance, because if this happens to you, it's hard to work around. If it gets to some of your best players and sidelines some of your guys, I mean, that's really tough to go around. So I know that this is all business right now, and they're going to try to make sure they handle this the right way, but this is not going to be a fun conversation for Antonetti to have this afternoon with media.
Mandy, can we walk through the facts on this thing? Because I sometimes get all over the place. What are the exact facts of what happened, starting with Plesac, moving through with Clevenger?
Yeah, I mean, we know more of what happened with Plesac than we do Clevenger. Plesac obviously started on Saturday. He's from the area, so I'm sure he had friends and family in town, because his hometown's just an hour away from Chicago. Decided to go out after the game Saturday night. I know that there's a whole bunch of code of conduct rules that they've come up with as a team that they wanted to follow. I'm not sure if there's a team curfew in that, but I've heard that there is, and I think that he sort of went around that and was out. I don't know if he had a mask on whenever he was out. Antonetti did not disclose how they found out that he was out. He decided to keep that to himself. But they did learn that Plesac was out and violated the rules that they had. And whenever he returned to the team hotel, They don't think that he had exposure to any of the other teammates, but I think we've learned that Mike Clevenger may have been with him. So they told him, look, we don't want you around the team. We don't want you, if you got exposed to any, anything COVID related, we just don't want you to be around the team right now. So they had a car service drive him back to Cleveland Sunday morning. That way he didn't have to travel with the team, didn't get near anybody. And then he was going to be self-quarantining for at least 72 hours. Now they have, some decisions to make with him, and they were already debating what to do with him because they don't need a fifth starter until August 22nd because of all these off days coming up. So they were thinking maybe bullpen, maybe optioning him to free up a roster spot. Now it's a little bit of a different scenario because he might be a little bit in the doghouse now. So then they were moving on. The team had a meeting on Sunday. I think it was the players who came together and they talked about this. And apparently one of the players who was at the meeting ended up being out the night prior without them knowing it at the time. And that was Mike Clevenger. And so the team found out yesterday that Clevenger was also out Saturday night in Chicago. And he's a little bit of a different story and a bigger deal because he did travel home with the team because they didn't know at the time. And so when you have someone like Carlos Carrasco, who is high risk, that makes it a little bit of a bigger scenario because Clevenger was there and didn't report that he was out. And now there's that risk that if he did get exposed to COVID, then he could be exposing the rest of his teammates. So we don't know the specifics of everything with Clevenger related yet. I'm sure we'll learn those this afternoon. But, yeah, that's basically the summation of everything that happened over the past few days.
Mandy, I don't want to downplay what Clevenger did from a health standpoint because we don't know what he did, and then he came into the meeting, and then he was on the plane, and I get all that. But if you're going to play Major League Baseball and you're not going to do it in a bubble like the NHL is, like the NBA is, every time you show up at the ballpark, you run the risk of people are disinfecting their mail, for God's sake. So and anything could get somebody, you know, to me, the blatant thing here is that a disregard for the protocol that was put in place and basically the team rules. That's even more than the health thing to me. And if I'm Chris Antonetti, I'm probably wondering, well, you tell me, am I wondering if I want this guy on the team, Mike Clevenger?
I don't know if it gets to that point right now. I think that if this was a multiple offense type of deal, then yeah, maybe it's something that's then crossed your mind. But I think that what they learned in the process with Framil Reyes last month, the way Tito at least talked about it was like, look, this is different. We understand this is different, and nobody really knows how to go through this, and we're adjusting, and we're moving on the fly. And whenever they make mistakes like this, they need to learn from them, basically. Obviously, this has been a month later, and we get the gist of the protocol, so it's a little bit more serious at this point, and it's not like everyone's still trying to figure out how it works. But I think at this point they'd still give, while obviously being very frustrated with what happened, the benefit of the doubt of that maybe just give him another chance to try to rebound and learn from this. And if there's like, you know, no working and no sympathy or anything like that, then yeah, maybe then you get a little bit more frustrated. But I think to at least start right now, you try to have the stern talking, you make sure that he understands. I mean, he's missing a start tonight. You give him all the things like, look, this is what's going to happen if you make these types of decisions, and at least allow him to rebound from everything that he's done over the last few days.
I mean, I know you alluded to it, but how much do you, like, general managers don't want to have to be answering discipline questions. They don't. And now you've got, you know, or president, general manager. I mean, if you're Chris Antonetti, it's an interview you don't want to do, but now you've got to do it. And I don't know how much of the Indians protocols are weighing on his shoulder or how much of Major League Baseball's weight of the situation are on his shoulders as well. And I'm also curious to see what Major League Baseball is going to do about the A's-Astros fight from Sunday. And I mean, there's protocols that were broke left and right in that fight too. So, I mean, Major League Baseball's kind of got a mess on their hands, and unfortunately we're a part of the story right now. Hey, if you're Chris Antonetti, what are you saying today?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like you said, I mean, he does not want to be having this this type of conversation, and I'm sure that MLB's protocols are weighing on him, and I'm sure that's how it is. But I would honestly think that breaking the team protocols would hurt more as an organization, because those guys came together to make their own code of conduct before the season started. They came together to put the rules that they wanted to follow, and Plesac and Clevinger over the past month have both spoken out to seem like they were very serious about these protocols. We all understand that people make mistakes, but this is a tough mistake to make, especially right now when the rotation's really all they have and all they've been relying on, and just the safety of all of their teammates and everything that goes into it. So I'm sure from a managerial and leadership type of standpoint, it has to be tough to have players hurt your own rules that they came together to agree upon to follow. So I'm sure that's tough, and to have to sit here and take days out of the year, I mean, especially whenever we all should be just celebrating the fact that Terry Francona is feeling better enough to be back at the ballpark today, just to make sure that he's okay, and just to try to catch up back with him after being away from the team for a week and a half. Instead, the focus is going to be on a much somber topic where not anyone's going to be wanting to discuss this. So I'm sure that Antonetti will approach this and try to be as quick and efficient as possible when he talks about this, lay out all the details that they can say, answer a couple of quick questions, and try to move forward, because they have games that they want to win immediately and that they need to win immediately, and they don't want to be distracted.
Mandy Bell's joining us from MLB.com. She covers the Indians. I have a twofold question for you here, and part of it involves Clevinger. There's only one team in Major League Baseball hitting under 200 right now as a team, our beloved Cleveland Indians at 196. They're dead last in Major League Baseball in batting average. However, there are only seven teams in Major League Baseball that are hitting over 245. The pitchers seem to be dominating, and the hitters aren't doing much of anything. Should the Indians be extremely worried about the offense to the point where, and here's where the Clevinger part comes in, where you think we have a surplus in pitching? Clevinger's knees acting up. We're afraid he's not going to be what he used to be, even though he's been pretty good. You know, last time out, but no runs, two hits. He's walked five of his last two starts, though, each of his last two starts. Would you think about trading Clevinger and going out and getting an impact bat for that outfield, Mandy? Or is it just, hey, everybody in baseball is not hitting bupkis right now, and let's be patient?
Well, I think maybe today it might be too soon to start wondering that. Now, if it gets closer to the deadline and 2 weeks from now or however long, whatever day it is, you can never keep track of the days during this baseball season. But whenever you get closer to that point and they're still not hitting and it's still the same storyline of you get a quality start from your starter, but you get three hits from the offense, you definitely have to start figuring out, okay, how can we get an impact bat in this lineup? Now, would it be Clevinger? I'm not sure. I mean, he has shown strides of bouncing back from all the mechanical issues that knee has caused him in his delivery, just trying to protect it, threw everything all out of whack. And he seems to be slowly building back up from that and fixing all of those types of things. And to think of Shane Bieber and Mike Clevinger as that 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation for the next few years, I mean, that's stuff that you can dream about. And so that's something that you'd have to balance and weigh out heavily. I know they don't have the best projected lineup in baseball. It's not like the Yankees lineup that you're looking at or an Astros lineup that you're looking at. But when you have Lindor, Ramirez, Framel Reyes, you have guys that seemingly should be enough to at least put a few runs on the board. So I think at this point, they can still stay patient and just see if things start to click. I mean, it looks like Reyes is starting to find it a little bit more. Jose Ramirez has been able to stay as consistent as you possibly can with the rest of the order, struggling so much. Cesar Hernandez really is settling in at the top of the lineup. They're just really waiting for Lindor to find it. Carlos Santana, although he seems to walk every plate appearance, I mean, they're still waiting for him to try to find it. If things can start to settle in more offensively over the next 2 weeks, then maybe that pressure of trying to have those difficult discussions and weighing out, is it worth it at this point to try to move him, maybe those can subside just a little bit.
And Mandy, I agree with one thing you just said. If Clevinger is getting it back together, and last start was pretty good, no runs in 5 2/3. If he's starting to get it back together and it's going okay, they have him under team control for 2 more seasons after this.
Mm-hmm.
He's arbitration eligible. And you have that rotation that you can build around for the next couple of years. That's pretty tough to mess with, I would think.
It's extremely tough to mess with. And, I mean, Tito says it. I've only been here for 2 years now, and I think I've already heard Tito say it 1,000 times, that if you have pitching, you're always in it. You cannot be out of contention if you have pitching. And, my goodness, the rotation they have right now, I mean, it proves for itself. The offense has just been atrocious, and yet they're still hanging on because the rotation darn near gives them as great of an outing as you can have every single night. There's no clunkers, and so it's really, really hard to be out of it in any way, shape, or form if you have the rotation they have. So that's going to be that's hard to look at and think, okay, how can we maybe move one piece out of there, because they're really set up right now.
Mandy, thank you for being with us. The only thing we enjoy more than your coverage on MLB.com of the Indians is when you join us and talk about the Indians. So thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mandy Bell, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.